I think many people throughout the world, many countries like the U.S. government, have really invested tremendously in improving the overall food supply. And we definitely see threats like climate change, economic hardship still affecting literally billions of people. But I think what we're doing in illustrating or pointing out the issue of quality is that we don't want to see a world where just calories are the focus of hunger programs. And we talk about hidden hunger, micronutrients, for example, as being a major issue affecting 2 billion people. What the book does is looking at diets from the point of view of looking at meeting nutrient requirements, not just about filling stomachs and getting away from feeling hungry. And this is just as important in the cities of developed countries as it is in parts of the developing world as well.
You focus on a sustainable diet. What is a sustainable diet?
It's a concept that has, of course, different interpretations depending on your discipline. We have a standard definition for sustainable diets that take into account aspects of the environmental cost of the diet. In other words, you can eat animal source foods taken from the forest that are not replaceable. They're not sustainable. We're looking at a population in Kenya where many of the nutrients are being met by bush meat, and we consider that to be something that, while it's important from a nutritional aspect, is not something that's sustainable in the medium to long term. And I think we're looking at the same kinds of issues with respect to increasing consumption of animal source foods throughout the world and saying, well, what does it take to have populations consume at the same level that we're consuming at the West, and what it means from a water point of view, an environmental point of view, from a nutrient fertilizer kind of view, from the point of view of fossil fuels, and what it really costs both locally, regionally, internationally to have a sustainable diet.
Given that, your book also points out that huge numbers of people are abandoning traditional plant-based foods in favor of diets that are rich in meat, dairy products, fats, and sugar. So then what role do modern diets and food production play in helping to shrink food diversity?
Yes, the attention to the nutrient density, and particularly of calories, has been something that we've needed to feed the 7 billion people on the planet. The interest in looking at other sources of nutrients, the micronutrients, as I mentioned before, the quality nutrients, that means that eating lots of fats and sugars is something that is not enough for us to look to the future where we can have a diet that's going to meet our health, cultural and nutrition needs. And so that dietary transition, which we see throughout the world, but alarmingly we're seeing it in countries like in South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa, where diabetes and cardiovascular disease is coming up side by side with undernutrition, with wasting, with stunting. And so we refer to this as the double burden, both of over- and undernutrition, sometimes in the same household.
And talking about Sub-Saharan Africa, you all also brought out that Kenya is doing something now and they're having some success with it. Can you tell us about that? What is Kenya doing to improve their diet?
We have had some direct experiences at Biodiversity International on that, one of which is to promote traditional vegetables, many of which are rich in nutrients. Some of them are disappearing because of agricultural intensification, but more importantly, valuing these crops as part of the diet, not because they've been eaten for centuries, but rather because they are part of a food environment that sometimes is good in drought situations, it's good in terms of nutrient depletion in the soil, but also adds texture, adds color, flavor, smell to the diet.
Overall, how long do you think it will take before there's an improvement in diets?
Well, that's a good question, and one that I think many people are speaking to and making tremendous efforts from various levels, from the point of view of measurement, which is what we're interested in doing, from the point of view of information sharing, communication about what represents a quality diet, what the role of animal source foods, of different imported foods, local foods, the local foods movement, all these things are all contributing to our understanding or literacy about the issue. But then there's also a role of government in terms of taxation policy or incentives around consumption of locally available foods, fruits and vegetables, in the context of good health and disease. And this is the same as if you're a mayor of a larger city in the United States, or you're looking from a point of view of public health in a rural area in Sub-Saharan Africa.